Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Who's ready for some fireworks? When he said fireworks, I about jumped out of my seat. I'm just saying. I'm actually going to talk a little bit more about fireworks in my sermon, so it works so great. And I'm so excited to be here with you guys. If you're ready to just be in the house of the Lord today, will you just give Jesus a good praise? Come on, guys. Woo. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, like your physical, real Bibles, we're going to find out who the real Christians are today. Will you hold it up in the air so I can see? Come on, somebody. Now, if you have your phone like me, go ahead and put that up in the air just like that. The Lord is watching. The Lord is watching. Will you guys go ahead and flip to Judges chapter 2? We're going to start at verse 7. So before we get into that, this week I had the pleasure and the opportunity to travel with our students to youth camp. Now, youth camp was absolutely amazing. If you don't know anything about youth camp, it's basically we show up to this camp and we get put on a team, and there was 8 different teams. And as I go through this, you'll hear how kind of bitter I am about this. But so I went to youth camp as a kid. Doesn't seem that long ago. And I went for 6 years straight, and I didn't win a single time. Now, like I said, I am a little bitter because this was the first year we took our students to youth camp. And the reason why I'm wearing this shirt is because they won on their very first year. Yeah, go ahead and clap. Go ahead and clap. Their very first year. So, I didn't get much sleep this whole week, just so y'all know. And neither did they. But, so, there was one thing that I noticed this week that all these students had. They were up at the altar. It was so awesome to see. They got to witness, you know, the presence of God. And it was just awesome. There was one thing that I saw in each one of these students, and that was this this fire. This passion that they had to see God move, and the urgency inside of their bones. You could totally see it. It was amazing. But before I get into that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my childhood. So looking back at my childhood, I realize now that there's something about my family that really freaks me out. It really freaks me out. I don't know if it's just my family or if everyone's family's like this, but we definitely deserved our own TV show, something, because like everything that could go wrong went wrong. It was crazy. And there was one specific trait my family had that still freaks me out to this day. No joke, my family is a bunch of pyromaniacs. So 4th of July, you know, is probably like our favorite holiday of the whole year. We love blowing stuff up. You know, anything that will burn, we'll burn it. You know, it's just like, it's crazy. We just love fire. And I don't know what it is. So it was almost like this bonding experience we would have once a week where we would take all the firewood we had, everything that would basically burn, and we would put it in this fire pit that was like 20 feet wide. You know, we were professionals at this. And we would build this like huge like mountain, and we would just like set it on fire, and there's like 15-foot like inferno, and we would just look at it like it was awesome. And it was. But there was one time in particular that we took it to the extreme. And you might be asking me, Austin, isn't a 15-foot inferno already extreme? No. Now, this time we decided to gather up as much stuff as we could. I'm talking old bed frames. I'm talking, you know, old furniture that we weren't using, the Christmas tree, old boxes that we'd opened for Christmas that week, and we threw it all in this fire pit. We stacked it all up as high as it would go, and I'm telling you guys, the looks on 3 young boys' faces, it was me and my 2 younger brothers, the looks on our faces as we saw our dad climbing up that ladder with a big can of gasoline and just pouring it on top, it was pure bliss, like, it was crazy. He was like a superhero in our eyes, just like pouring that gasoline. So as my dad kind of lit that match and kind of threw it in, all the hairs on his eyebrows kind of singed off. But we didn't even care. We looked at it. It was just awesome. You know, it was like super high, but we forgot one thing. We forgot all of the boxes that we got for Christmas, these huge boxes. So we walked over and we grabbed the boxes and we would throw it on top of the fire, and you know, about 5 seconds later, we would watch it like kind of engulf in flames, and then it started to rain a little bit, and so we were like, oh, well, it kind of, you know, it's going to fizzle out. But then the wind started picking up. So if you know where I'm going in the story, you're probably laughing already. So the wind ended up taking these boxes of fire, picking them up, and taking them down the street towards the woods. Now can you imagine the look on these three young boys' faces as it's basically like the end of the world? Fire is literally falling from the sky as we're watching, you know, these big fireballs travel down the road towards this forest. Well, thankfully, we didn't set the forest on fire. We didn't conduct a felony. You know, we were all good. It looked like, I swear, it looked like 15 fireballs were like flying down the road. But my dad, he grabbed the hose, and he was trying to hose down this fire. And nothing that we could do would stop this fire, because it had gotten so big and it had gotten so hot that there was nothing that we could do to possibly kind of put this fire out. So we kind of just sat back and watched and just prayed, basically. So needless to say, we all learned a very valuable lesson that day about fire, and that's to put the boxes in at the bottom, So before I share with you a little bit more about what God did this week, I just wanted to take a moment and pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are, what you're doing in this place. Jesus, as I talk about, you know, what happened this week, God, I just pray that my words fall to the ground and your words are lifted up. Jesus, just open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears. Holy Spirit, just fill this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So one of the things that I learned this week, rediscovered this week, is how afraid the devil is of you. He knows the kind of power that's inside of you, and it scares him to death. But now, let me be clear. The devil isn't afraid of your religion. He doesn't care if you say that you're a Christian or not. He isn't all that worried about your faith or skills or your talents. He doesn't care that you're even at church this morning. The one thing that the devil cares about is your fire. And let me tell you why. A small fire can be contained, it can be controlled and ineffective. But once that fire gets large enough, once that fire becomes so heated that it can't be put out, that's when he can't do anything to stop it. And the effects of it can be seen for miles. So every Christian has this fire. The reality is that our fire and our passion, it grows and it shrinks based on the atmosphere that we're in. There are times when we feel like, you know, we're on fire for God. We're chasing God with everything that we have. And there are times where we feel like, is there even a fire that's even burning inside of us at all? See, the devil has seen this, you know, time after time with Christians. Throughout the ages, Christians have gone through this, where this fire burns and it shrinks. And it burns and it shrinks. And he actually uses it to his advantage. Once our fire starts to grow, once we really start to catch fire for God, he likes to change the atmosphere around us, making it hard for that fire to even burn at all. And this is when, you know, the rain starts to pour, that wind picks up, and you can't see what's in front of you at all. So if you have your Bibles, we're starting at Judges chapter 2, verse 7, which says, "The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him, and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel." We're going to jump down to verse 10. "After the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, they died. Another generation grew up who knew the Lord, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel." I think that this verse is just absolutely crazy. You have one of the most influential people in all of the Bible. His generation, you know, is chasing after God, is on fire for God, and the very next generation afterwards does not know the Lord, nor do they even know what he had done at all. That's absolutely mind-blowing to me. And you know, if we read the Gospels, we see Jesus going through these kind of atmospheres where it's hard to kind of catch fire. Time after time after time, Jesus still has this fire to see the work of the Lord be done, But even though his atmosphere around him is just totally like crazy. And so there was one time in particular when Jesus was in prison. All of his followers, all of his friends had left him. He was beaten, he was whipped. A crown of thorns was put on his head. And as he carried that cross up that mountain the bottoms of his hands were nailed to that cross, this was Jesus' darkest time. This was when the storm was the biggest for Jesus. But Jesus' fire spread the greatest in his most difficult time in his life. Through his storm, he kept his eyes on his mission, and he knew that in order for his fire to spread to those who needed it, he had to stand strong. See, there's something that's really, really special about this fire that I saw this week at camp. You know, each one of these kids just had this passion, and they were chasing after God with everything that they had. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of their fires are going to burn out pretty quick. This world that we live in, this world that they are growing up in, is one of the most difficult places to even keep a fire burning at all. Kids are exposed to things like drugs and alcohol and sex at a much younger age than ever before. Families are more broken now than they've ever been. They receive constant lies from media telling them to be something that they're not. And their schools have become a place where God is just completely unwelcome. So if you want to know why I do this, if you want to know why I have such a burden to see these young people chase after God and not let that fire burn out, then just open your eyes. Turn on the television. There are kids that are going into their schools and taking the lives of their classmates. This generation needs God more than ever. These young people have a target on their back. The devil is coming after these young people with everything that they got. But if you really want to know why I do this, it's because God is coming with so much more. So I see hope in a seemingly hopeless situation, and I see it through you. Church, we can't sit idly by as this next generation grows up and goes into their schools and goes into their culture without the support they need. So God is going to use you to put this generation on your shoulders. God is going to use you to equip and stand up for these young people. This next generation is in desperate need of God, and God is using your fire, your passion, to see that done. So there are a few things that we have to do to see these young people catch fire for God. First, we have to make sure that our fire burns bright, even when the atmosphere around us tries to put us out. Second, we have to share our faith with others. We can't just keep this to ourselves. We can't keep this, our faith, to ourselves. We have to share with the people around us. Lastly, we have to make sure that new believers in the next generation has the knowledge and support to keep their fire burning. We need to be teaching what it looks like to pray. We need to be showing what it looks like to have a daily devotion, to actually open your Bible. We need to be showing what it looks like to practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whew, that's a big one. You see, this is what God has called you to do. You know, whether you like it or not, this is what God has called you to do. To put this next generation on your shoulders and to show them how it's done. Show them what being a Christian is actually like. These young people are growing up not knowing what the Christian faith even is. It's been whitewashed. It's been something that it's not. We have to show them what it looks like. I, for one, am tired of not doing something because I'm afraid of what other people might think. I'm tired of staying stagnant because I'm afraid of what God might do if I actually move. I don't want to be the kind of Christian that just gets to a certain point with God and just stops. I want more for myself. I want more for you. I want more for the lost, and I want more for this next generation. And I can sense that in this room that there are people that want that too. And if that's you, will you stand with me all across this room? Lord God, we just thank you so much. God, thank you for the fire that you've placed inside of each and every one of us. Lord, as we go about our day, as we go about our week, let us be reminded of what you did on the cross to give us this passion, to give us this fire. Lord, let us not just keep it to ourselves. Lord, let's stand up and let's catch other people on fire too. Lord, when we are burning so bright, the areas around us will catch fire as well. Jesus, I pray that you let us not, that you remind us of this moment. Remind us of that passion that we had for you when we first believed, when we first came to you, Jesus. Lord, give us that fire back. Give us that fire to see a next generation come to you. Lord, because the last thing that we desire is for a generation to grow up not knowing you. Lord, we thank you and we love you so much. In Jesus' name. So as we enter into this time of worship, I want you to think about that fire that's inside of you. I want you to think, you know, about this fire that's inside of you. And if you don't feel that fire, if you've never experienced that fire, just ask God to show you what that is. And I guarantee you, it'll be an experience that you'll never forget. You know, some of us have been in this a long time and have kind of gone this up and down hill of what this fire is, you know, and sometimes, you know, we'll have like a good message or a good worship service and we'll catch that fire again, but then it'll kind of fizzle out. Maybe that's you today. But as we entered in this time of worship, I just have two questions that you can kind of think about. It's where can you spread your fire and what can you do to fuel somebody else's fire?
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.